Great to be with you on this Monday morning, the 8th of July. We are, of course, in the middle of, well, not necessarily in the middle of NAIDOC Week, are we? At the start of NAIDOC Week, I heard that it was officially launched, the national launch anyway, happened in Perth yesterday. So happy NAIDOC to you. Before we continue, I'd like to begin by acknowledging traditional owners of the land where Let's Talk is broadcast. I'd also like to acknowledge our elders, both Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander elders and non-Indigenous elders. And hello to you if you're listening to 98.9 FM or to the National Indigenous Radio Service or, in fact, our live stream on the web at 98.9fm.com.au. I have a couple of guests for you to hear from today. One of them is Warren Roberts, who's the Chief Executive Officer of a new organisation called, a relatively new organisation called YARN, which stands for the Youth Awareness Resource Network. We'll have a chat, or we'll have a yarn, with Warren in just a moment. Warren, welcome to Let's Talk.
Good morning. How are you going?
I'm well, thank you. Warren, firstly, tell us a bit about yourself, who your mob and your country.
Yep, my mob is Dungutty and Bunjalung mob. And I grew up on Armidale and living in Sydney at the moment, so, yep.
All right. And tell us a bit about growing up in Armidale. What was that like for a young Koori fella?
Yeah. Well, my experiences growing up in Armidale was awesome, but it was also a mix of two things because I went to an all-public school and then my grandparents put me in a boarding school. And then, so I went from an all-Indigenous to me being the only Indigenous. So, you know, it was a huge opportunity because, you know, my grandparents thought about education is the key. And so I can tell you a little bit about that.
Yeah, definitely.
Yep.
What was the thinking behind your grandparents' decision? So they wanted you to get a good education. They thought that sending you to a private school was the key.
Yep, exactly. And from that experience, you know, there's a big difference between your grandparents saying it and then you actually being the person who's in that situation. And looking around, no other, you know, Koori fellas or Indigenous fellas. And, you know, at the end of the day, I kind of just said, well, you know, my grandparents and all my elders put me there because I was reared up by my grandparents. So all the aunties and everyone got together and they worked it out to send me that school.
All right.
And
was it in Armidale?
It was.
Okay.
It was in Armidale.
But you weren't. Were you a boarding student or were you a day student?
For the first couple of years, I wasn't a boarder. But then, from year 7 to year 12, I became a boarder.
Okay. And you were the only Indigenous student there at that stage.
Yes.
And I read now that this particular school has got a lot more Indigenous students there.
Yes, they got about 17 from what I understand.
Oh, wow, fantastic. So do you consider you the trailblazer? You're the one who opened up that door, you reckon?
Well, I think one of my things was going back at school was the whole thing around, you know, because I did put up with the issue of racism at the school. But ultimately, you know, I held my cool. But at the end of the day, it was proving the point that, you know, Indigenous people, we can do this too. So, you know, a lot of the time I had to, you know, pull up with, you know, knock on the door of the headmaster and say, look, these are some of the things you need to fix if we're going to have more Indigenous students at the school. So I really was staunch with that. You know, sometimes I'd get upset and then go home and then my grandparents would say, hey, you got beautiful black skin. You go back in there and you'd be proud of who you are. And, you know, I'd go back in there and I'd feel, you know, proud but staunch, but in there to prove a point, you know. So
I don't know whether you ought to dwell on the racism that you encountered, but can you share one incident that happened to you that, you know, that you went, which prompted you to then go to the school principal and say, look, you've got to do something about this?
I don't think I'll talk about a particular incident, but you know, when you know, the word black or other names that would come about, you know, I would one of the things I knew that is if we're going to fix this problem, the people who are the decision makers need to be at the helm of it. And so I'd never go to my housemaster, I'd never go to any teacher, I'd go to either the headmaster of the school or the deputy headmaster.
Right, go right to the top.
Go right to the top. Mm. And so, you know, young kid would go in there and knock on the door and walk in and say, hey, come on, you know, upset and everything, but if you fellas want to have more Indigenous people at this school, you know, you're going to have to start to knock it in the head, you know.
Mm. Did the behaviour change? Did the name calling stop?
Yeah, a lot of it did stop, you know. But, you know, some people got a hard head, but, you know, you've got to get around those people.
Mm.
But ultimately, I think in the end, the whole opportunity was about people building a relationship with me.
Mm.
And, you know, being there over 8 years, seven, 8 years, people were able to build that relationship with me.
Mm.
And so the way that I coped at the school, I started to build friends with everybody. I'd build friends with the cooks, and I'd build friends with the gardens people, and I'd build friends with anybody and everybody. So I was everybody's friend. So I'll give you an example of how I was became welcome at the school. So in the morning, I'd get up early and I'd go to the kitchen. And I'd go out the back door of the kitchen, and they'd let me into the kitchen and would yarn up. I'd have breakfast and I'd go back to the boarding house. And I'd say, yeah, boys, pancakes or whatever's for breakfast. And the boys would say, hey, you're not allowed to go in that kitchen before a certain time. And I said, oh, don't worry about this fella, you know. It's all good.
I've got connections.
Yeah, yeah. And so that would get, you know, Jay. But at the end of the day, it was... that was able me to feel at home at the school, you know.
Mm, mm. You're very confident. Did you get that, you know, confident? Did you get that from your grandparents?
Yeah, yeah. Well, I got it from, you know, my grandmother's a staunch black woman, so she's, you know, taught a lot about the whole thing about education is the key. And a lot of my grandmother's brothers and sisters were all, you know, my grandmother's brother was a minister in a church, so we had him mentor as well. And, you know, my other nan's sister was Pat Dixon, who was a politician in New South Wales, one of the first Indigenous people in local government, you know, and grew up around these type of people and, you know, staunch community women. And they all instilled this belief in me that you can do it, you know.
Mm.
And so when you grow up around leaders like that, you kind of think to yourself, well, maybe I'm supposed to be one too.
Yes, you're big feet to big shoes to fill, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Mm. So speaking of education, how did you go academically wise?
Yeah, yeah. So I finished school and then I went on to the University of New South Wales. And I picked up a Bachelor of Arts majoring in History and Politics and International Relations.
Okay.
And, yeah, it was a really good experience and... coming from the country to the city, you know, it's a big, big move. But ultimately, I suppose when you got, you know, your mob behind you and your community who want to support you in that, yeah.
Mm. Are your grandparents still around?
Yeah, my grandmother is still around.
Your grandmother is still around?
Yep.
But your poppy's passed on?
No.
No,
my pop
he's still
there.
Around?
Yep.
Still there too?
Yep.
Okay, good on them. They what's the name? So they've seen you go from... public school, private school to university. They must be really proud of you.
Yeah, yeah, they are very proud, you know, and they're happy to hear all the stories and what I'm doing and going out there and spreading that positive story to other people.
Right. Well, I guess it was at university that this idea came upon you to establish YARN, which is the Youth Awareness Resource Network. Tell us a bit about that.
Yeah. So it came about from that very experience of growing up at school. About non-Indigenous not having that opportunity to engage Indigenous people. So what I did, I was sitting in a tutorial group with me and six other non-Indigenous people. So it was an Indigenous class, and they were saying all these positive things about engaging with Indigenous people. And I asked the question. I think every so many weeks I kept asking the same question. And the two questions that I was asking, so we're saying all these great things about building relationships with Indigenous people. Is this just about a participation mark, or is this actually about creating change, you know? And so the notion, they kind of didn't really get around to it, and I think at the end the lecturer was like, I think what Warren wants to do is actually do something. And so I challenged them that on the 13th or 12th week of the semester. And I said, well, why don't we start a group and we catch up afterwards and we have a yarn.
Mm.
And we talk about whatever you want to talk about when it comes to Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people and culture. So that's basically how yarn started.
Yeah. And what were the you know, kind of questions that your fellow students were throwing at you, you know, in those initial stages?
Yep. Like small things from what's going on with Indigenous health.
Okay.
And then at that particular time, it was around 2007, the intervention. So people started asking about that. And we had people come in and talk about that. So it was between issues and other questions that they wanted to ask in general about Indigenous culture. So it'd been Indigenous health, it'll be about Indigenous music, art, it could be about more broadly, you know, who's the Indigenous people here at this particular place, and like anything and everything, and anything that I didn't understand, I'd say, well, look, I don't know about that, but we could try and find out, you know, and we'd get guest speakers to come in. So one particular thing that we did, we ran a commemoration and memoration of the apology 1 year later in 2008. And so we had Uncle Vic Sims come in and talk and do the welcome. And then we had Uncle Chicka Dixon come along, and he talked about, you know, what his thoughts is about the apology and where to from here. And people were able to come in and just listen to think about, well, what is the future? What are we going to do about, you know, this next stage of, you know, reconciliation?
Right. So with yarning, I mean, I guess that was it was no accident calling the group YARN, Youth Awareness Resource Network. You must have been going through a few variations to try and come up with that name. Would that be right?
Yes. Well, when we sat down and we was having the first discussions, it was actually in a local cafe, so on campus, and people were asking that question, well, you know, what are we going to call ourselves? You know, and I'm thinking, you know, let's just have a yarn, because that's just the way I talk, you know. And every time I'd be talking with them, I'd say, well, let's just go and have a yarn. And they all said, well, why don't we just call it yarn, you know? And I said, well, when you look out there, a lot of yarns out there, you know, why are we so different? And that was resonating in my mind, we need to call this yarn. And so I went away and I thought about it. And I sat down and I come up with this. And I thought, well, what are we? Well, we're young Australians, so we're youth. And what are we doing? We're building awareness of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander culture and history and people. And what do we need to do that? We need the right resources, like books and articles, but most importantly, the power of the individual story. And ultimately, we are part of a network of people. And that's how we come up with Youth Awareness Resource Network.
Right. And you've gone from University of New South Wales. I mean, how many members do you have there?
About 50.
About 50 there?
Yep.
And you've then gone into other universities?
Yep, and other universities. And look, at other universities, it does start with a group of people. It could start from two people and then move on from there and collaborate and go on. So I think it was in 2010, I became the National Union of Students National Indigenous Officer. So part of that opportunity, I was able to travel around to the other campuses. And I was basically going to other Indigenous officers and saying, hey, this is what we're doing at our campus, and this is how we're engaging the wider community in on what we're doing. And they were like, oh, this is really awesome. And so when I went to the National Indigenous Student Conference, I caught up with Gordon Franklin from the University of La Trobe, and he automatically just said, hey, this sounds really great. Why don't you come down? And I went down to La Trobe down in Melbourne, and I stayed at Frank's place, and we made it happen down there. And it's been, that was started in, 2009.
So how many universities is YARN now established?
So at the moment it's 10.
10.
And now we're having collaborations now with a couple of students at the University of Melbourne. So that's the 11th campus.
All right. Well, you are in Queensland. Any universities here?
Yep. We've collaborated with University of Queensland, University of Technology, with some Indigenous students there, and that started back in 2010, I believe.
Was that it with the Uluru Noongar?
So how does it work? Yeah. It basically collaborates with Indigenous and non-Indigenous students who want to step up to the program.
Okay.
And then they basically take a hold of the program and run it. And then what we do, we consult with all Indigenous people on campus, either the Indigenous Centre, or anyone who works in the university in general.
Mm-hmm.
And we just say, hey, you know what, this is on campus, this is what we're about, this is how we do things. And if you want to get involved, that's awesome. And if you don't, that's fine. And so really having that option and just having that respect on campus that we do exist and we're building these relationships and, you know, having this positive message on campus.
So what actually happens, you know, at university when, you know, the network meets? I mean, is it just that, a sit down around and yarning?
Yep. Well, what happened, I think what we have to do, in the end, it started with that concept, let's sit down and let's talk about whatever what anyone wanted to raise. And so it was a mix between guest speakers, campus discussions, or let's go on a trip somewhere and go out and engage in the community. But it was so broad in the sense that it was sort of just rock up and let's see what we talk about. But over the last 6 months, we've defined it now in how do we actually engage people more critically. And
so that it's not just talking about it, but it's actually putting action behind those words.
Yes, but I think what we need to understand is we kind of think about relationships in the sense that it's sort of, talking is only can do so much. We always say that. But what we've got to understand, that is the value in what we do, because that's where you build the relationship to understand how to communicate with each other, then go out and create the change. Because if you don't know how to understand your brother or sister and the way they tick, you know, and build a relationship with them and understand why they do what they do, then really you can't effectively communicate with them to do action. And so that's why I really focus on this whole notion of let's talk about our story. So when we defined what YARN does, we've actually created a curriculum from everything that's happened since 1788 to now that looks at all the main events right across the history of our culture and brings them all together, and we talk about those things. So would you like to give you an example?
Yes, please.
So an example could be, let's sit down and let's talk about the Paul Keating speech in Redfern. Now, we can talk about, does anyone know about the Paul Keating speech? No. Okay. What do you feel about not knowing about it? You know, now let's watch the speech. Oh, okay, how do we feel now after hearing about it? How do we feel about it? You know, and then we reflect on people who were there at the event. And then we reflect on, well, what's the positive message that we can take out of this event and move forward? But how can we tell these stories to other people? So these stories, very important stories, cannot be forgotten. Because what we've got to understand is experiences of people that actually allow people to build relationships, create the understanding, create the trust, and all these things to move forward. And so that comes back to that basic concept. If I tell you my story, what happens? You start to relax, smile, and you start to relate to my values, my experiences, my ideals. And then what happens? You take that away without you knowing it, and you can't help yourself, and you go and tell somebody else that yarn. Hey, Warren come in and we talked about this and that, and it kind of reminded me of this experience that I had. And you go and tell other people. While you're doing that, you're actually keeping the story alive. It's because of that relationship that you have, and it's because of your experiences. And this is why I'm saying it's very key when you talk about people able to tell their story or how they feel about something or how they reflected on something, on how they understood something, because that's about effectively understanding how do we communicate with people.
So do you get questions about what NAIDOC Week is? What's that stand for, and why is it significant to our mob?
We haven't come across NAIDOC as yet. We've more looked at particularly things
so
that's happening
about
in the past.
You've talked about the apology.
We talked about the apology. We talked about Indigenous health. We talked about a lot of different things, but we haven't. We're now at the stage where we can now talk about it because we have a curriculum that we were able to put in place. So people now can go onto our website and say, hey, look, in week three, they're going to talk about NAIDOC Week, or they're going to talk about the 1988 Invasion Day March in Sydney. Like, all these particular things that they can go on there, and people are now prepped before they come into the room so they know what they're going to talk about. And it's really awesome that we can talk about things that people don't know about and even things that I've come across that I don't even know about, and I've put it into the curriculum and we can talk about.
That's all right. You're developing a curriculum, aren't you?
Yep.
Yeah. All right. I guess with it being NAIDOC Week and the theme focusing on the Yirrkala bark petition, I guess that could be something that crops up and possibly once university resumes, at least, you know. Well, I know that it's still out, I think, here in Queensland. I'm not sure about the other states and territories.
They're in their break.
Well, look, speaking of breaks, we might take one, give you a bit of a spell there. And you've got a couple of other guests that we're going to meet this morning, and you can tell us a bit about that. And I think we've got a musical treat coming up as well.
Yep.
You're listening to Let's Talk here on the National Indigenous Radio Service and on 98.9 FM. I'm with Warren Roberts, Chief Executive Officer of YARN, Youth Awareness Resource Network. Warren, we were talking about, you know, the organisation just before that break. And one of the things that I did want to ask you about is how YARN operates, because in this digital age, most of us are stuck on a mobile device of some stage, particularly young people. I think their mobile phone usage is way up there. How do you engage with YARN? Do you, embrace the technology that's there, or do you go back to the old days?
Yeah. So the way that we do it is we understand the whole technology and everyone's, you know, getting all on Facebook and Twitter and the rest of it. But what we also got to understand is, and we do value by sitting down with people and having that one-on-one YARN in that discussion. So a lot of our events and the way that we communicate with YARN is about asking people to attend events. So what we do with YARN is have discussions on campus, and we tell people about where those discussions are and how people can get in there and have that YARN. So it's about that. And then we also talk about, and we put up on Facebook and Twitter, we use Facebook and Twitter to tell people where community events are happening, where they can go out and meet people.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really coming back to that old school of our mob getting together and having a YARN. And so, but when you think about it, a lot of people out there don't know, well, where are these spaces and do they exist?
Mm.
And so it's about us providing that information on our Facebook and Twitter to say, hey, this event is happening in the community. Why don't you get down there and say hello to some people?
Mm, right. We should mention YARN has got its own website as well.
Yep.
So what's the address?
So it's www.yarnaustralia.com.au.
Right. Okay. So we'll repeat that at the end of the show. If you have missed it, we'll repeat that web address for you. One way, I guess, you're trying to get the message out about YARN is by doing radio interviews like this, but you've also embraced the medium of music as well, haven't you?
Exactly. And I think the way that we came back and we thought about how do we market what we're doing and how do we engage more people in this story. And so the five things that we thought about was music, art, dance, theatre and film. So we're engaging in all those different mediums to contact and get in relationship with people, because it doesn't matter what culture you come from, you like either one of them.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, tell us about this music that's been developed. It's the YARN theme song.
Yeah. So we thought, I went away and thought about it, and I said, wouldn't it be cool to put together a YARN hip-hop theme song about the story of the whole thing around relationships and engaging with people and respecting our past and moving forward and engaging around, you know, the whole concept of building those relationships.
All right. And you collaborated with a couple of artists. Some artists put their hand up.
Exactly. So I went on a search, and I come across two Indigenous artists and basically sent them an email or gave them a call and said, hey, you know, we're thinking about putting together a YARN song. Would you like to collaborate on this opportunity around this concept of bringing young people together and creating change?
Mm, right. Well, let's meet the artists involved. One of them is sitting in the studio with us right now. You're known as Mirror Child.
Yes.
All right. But your proper name is, tell us a bit about Mirror Child. And I should mention that you are Luana Pitt.
Yes. Right.
Okay. And we've also got on the phone line, AKA Music. That's his name, I suppose, artist name. But I don't know. Will we reveal your real name?
Hello. Yes, my name's David Cook.
Are you talking to me, darling?
Yes, yeah, we're talking to both of you
that's
two.
That's fine. It doesn't worry me. Yeah, that's
all
fine.
Right. Well, look, firstly, David, we'll come to you in just a moment, but I'll yarn Luana for a little bit. Luana, tell us your mob, your country.
My people are from the Yagara people, which is from Ipswich, that comes from my dad's side.
Yep.
And also my mum's side is the Torres Strait Island from St. Paul, which is the Torres Strait.
Okay, cool. Yeah. And have you been here in Brisbane or where did you grow up?
I grew up all around probably Babinda. It's a little town just probably an hour up from Innisfail.
Yep.
But I was born in Ayr, so all our family's sort of based around those areas.
Yep. So
and also down the coast, which is my dad's side.
And so where are you based nowadays?
In Sydney.
In Sydney. Yeah. Okay. All right. Tell us about Mirror Child.
Mirror Child is basically like myself. I am Mirror Child. But we came up with it is for my group. It is a group name, which involves my mum and my brother. And we basically came up with that name because it was to let people know that, you know, no matter what we're going through as a child, whether it's good or bad, that we also have an inner child. So that's why I came up with the concept of Mirror Child. You know?
And describe your music to us.
Our music is basically sung from the heart. All our lyrics have to be done like that. Reason being is because I believe that if you're going to come from a perspective of, you know, a child's perspective, you know, you grow up like from a child to a teenager to an adult. So you basically, you know, go through life experiences. And so Mirror Child is based on life experiences of what you've been through. And so our main, suppose, singing, like for the singing part of it, was to reach out and listen to other people, what they've gone through, and also tell them from our own perspective what we've gone through. And so we've been working, like, close with, you know, like schools, singing in schools, NAIDOC events, Stolen Generation, you know, meetings and things like that, like just following Journey of Healing, basically, for the Stolen Generation, which was more, you know, really moving, but also incorporating schools to understand what the Aboriginal Torres Strait Islander people are all about and letting them know, you know, what the flags represent and, yeah, just educating them, basically.
So is this a full-time thing for you?
In the last 3 years, I won't go into it, but things took a toll on certain things of our family, so 8 years we sang professionally and basically we sort of went our separate ways. Mm-hmm. Like, but we still do come, if there's like really special events, we do come back together because my brother actually lives in Melbourne. My mum lives in Sydney with me, but she's really going to go back to Bundaberg. So it's sort of like, yeah, we're sort of at a standstill at the moment.
Mm-hmm. So when the opportunity came up from Warren, it was like, fantastic.
Well, I found it really, you know, a blessing because, I've been following, Jan for a few years with Warren and just supporting him in different events that he's...
So your mates?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Best mates. Mm-hmm. And so... I think what brought me on board, not only because we're mates, but because I have children of my, you know, myself, and you know, I was very interested in what he had to say about, you know, how coming up with yarn and things like that. But not only that, I just wanted my children to not have anger, like to move forward.
Mm.
I didn't want them to grow up in you know, in the world, believing that it's always going to be this racism.
Them and us kind of situation.
And I wanted them to, I've always taught my children, you know, no matter what colour or what nationality, you respect, you know, who you are or what you, where they come from, you know. So just hearing what Warren had to say really touched me. So, you know, I wanted my children to know all about that too. And they're, like, he's been a blessing to our family anyway, a great inspiration.
Have you done hip-hop before?
No, when Warren was talking about hip-hop, he was actually talking about, like...
about David and his
also
involvement.
Also another artist.
Okay.
My genre is definitely not hip-hop, but I do
I would like to hear you rap. I reckon she could
Ooh.
Do what you reckon.
Yeah, I reckon.
No, thanks. I'll leave it up to the, you know, the deadly hip-hop artist. But my genre is basically more so country, gospel, and a bit of, like, blues and jazz sort of thing.
That's reflecting a North Queensland, what's her name, your childhood, I'd suggest.
Yes, yeah, because my father was, he loved blues. I think a lot of our Indigenous people love blues, but more so
and
country.
And country, yes.
Yeah, and...
Hello, that's why we're
that's
a country
right.
station.
And, you know, my mum, like Warren's family, you know, a Christian background, gospel, in the Torres Strait, you know, the different, you know, melodies and... things like that, you know, if you get 100 of our people, which is in our immediate family, they tend to have these different harmonies. So it nearly, you know, shakes the whole church.
We might bring into the conversation David. David, welcome to Let's Talk. Thanks for hanging on.
You're right.
No worries. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. David, tell us your mob.
My mob is Budgula Mob from the Wide Bay, Burnett.
Oh, another Queenslander we're representing today, aren't we?
Yeah, and... I grew up in Childers.
Yep.
And then I, early childhood and, high school, I lived in Mackay,
yep.
And now I'm in Brisbane and the Sunshine Coast.
Oh, lovely. Okay. Are you a mate of Warren's too, or did, how did Warren find you?
Warren checked out one of my tracks and then he just hit me up and a couple of weeks later, we were down in Sydney recording the track.
So how long ago was this recorded?
February.
In February.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. And you bring the hip hop to the song, do you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Luana's throat was sore, so she didn't want to rap that day.
Okay.
And Warren said, you know, he's going to rap live. So.
Oh.
Really? Interesting thought.
You should look at the expression on his face when you said that, David.
Tell us,
how did you get into hip-hop?
I think growing up, I've always loved hip-hop.
Mm.
And like a lot of, you know, Murray kids from Queensland, you know, we related to what a lot of the Americans had to say about the struggle and stuff like that. So I think growing up, it's either... you know, either sports or music or the art. So as I got older, I just started writing, you know, and that kind of helped me get through tough times in my life. And then when I moved to Brisbane, I just realized that there was a lot of people here making good money doing this thing independently. So I just decided to pursue it.
Yeah. So you're doing this full time, are you?
I do this kind of mostly weekends. It's kind of a weekend gig, and then through the week I work as a casual part-time personal trainer.
Okay, all right. So you're a fit young thing then.
I try to keep fit and try to spread positivity through my music. You know, I don't conform to the hip-hop lifestyle. I just love the music.
All right, so you're not, I won't say the words, but you know what hip-hop music is like these days. It's always about the women,
if I'm in the club, I'm the only one not drinking, and I try and promote, you know, non-drinking, non-smoking, and positive messages.
Yeah. Tell us a bit about the name, AKA Music.
Basically, I perform as AKA, and Facebook wouldn't let me use AKA, so I had to put music in there.
Yeah.
But basically what it is when I grew up, I did a lot of writing. And I called myself lots of different names. And then over the years, I noticed AKA popping up left, right, and center.
Yep.
So I thought to myself, I was calling myself something silly, which I'm not going to say on the radio, but I thought I might just call myself AKA. And then I found out that my mother, she's Aboriginal and South Sea Island.
Yep.
so and dad's Aussie, so the AKA now represents Australian Kanaka Aboriginal.
Oh, that's great. Not so also known as.
Yeah. It's my heritage, and that's how I came up with the name.
Excellent. All right. Well, look, I think we should have a listen to Moving Forward that you put together. Who was responsible for the lyrics? Was it a joint effort?
Yes.
Joint effort? Yeah. Okay, no worries. And the music itself?
The music itself was put together by Corey Webster,
yep.
Another young Indigenous guy from down the South Coast, and he collaborated with the song from Koori Radio.
Right, so who wants to do the honours? Shall we get Luana to introduce the song and we'll have a listen to it, hey?
Yep, sounds good.
Yep, the song is called Moving Forward.
Yeah. Y'all ready? Hey, hey, hey. Yeah, let's go. Here I go. Listen as I grace the track. Ain't no future in the past, so what's the point in looking back? Let's move forward, no standing still. Gazing at the stars. A goal inspire a nation with a good yarn. You and me exchanging stories, sharing our past. Respect and build relationships that last, cause this is a movement to elevate one's mind. I pray for equality of the subconscious kind. I'm the voice of the voiceless. I'm searching for some inner peace, cause understanding that sounds good to me. Because all these years we've been searching for the answer, fighting, hating, ignorance, causing nothing but cancer. Imagine this, all your titles, put them in a box. I break it, our nation's at a standstill and I'm here to shake it. Let's come together, young people loud and proud, spreading positivity while I stay moving the crowd.
Moving forward for a better future. Moving forward for a better future. Moving forward for a better future. Moving forward.
Ready?
For a better
Listen.
Future.
The time's here and now as the keys in our youth. Through the power of our grasp, finally can reach the truth that no matter what your color, we all got our own struggles. Share me yours, I tell you mine. Relieve some stress and ease some troubles. Imagine possibilities through combined abilities. No more hidden agendas. Respect, humility, acknowledge one another. Wake the nation, share the glory. Cause that right there is the power of a story. And I'm here for change. Yo, it's time for change. Defy misconceptions, leaving thoughts rearranged. Kinda strange, titled rappers spitting about stuff that matters. Got my nation on my back, about to climb the ladder to the top. Come join me, I do this for the kids. I break stereotypes with every breath that I live. Message that I spit, milestone that we live. And acknowledge the sacred owners on which this land we live.
Moving forward.
The theme song for YARN, the Youth Awareness Resource Network, a collaboration between AKA Music and Mirror Child, who we heard on the program today here on Let's Talk. And, of course, we were introduced to them by Warren Roberts, who's the Chief Executive Officer of YARN. So I appreciate Luana, who is, Mirror Child, and AKA Music, David Cook, for their contribution this morning. Thanks so much, and fantastic effort there. Oh, what's the name? Has it been getting a lot of airplay, at least from Indigenous music stations or radio stations?
Today is the first time
ever. Oh, there you go. So there you go. That's a special treat for our 98.9 FM listeners and National Indigenous Radio Service listeners. You heard it for the first time on radio right there. Fantastic. Now, where can people get a hold of that if they want to?
They can check out our Facebook page and we'll let them know in the coming weeks where they can get a copy of the song.
What's your Facebook page?
Youth Awareness Resource Network.
Okay, so you've got to type it all out, so don't just look for YARN. You've got to type in that Youth Awareness Resource Network when you search. And you like the page and then can you post on it as well? Or
I think so. I'm not aware about it.
I think we should also mention the website is again as well for people who might want to get in touch with YARN through that.
Yep, so it's www.yarnaustralia.com.au.
All right. Well, look, thank you so much for that, Warren. I think what we might do is finish up with one of your ambassadors. Vic Sims, I understand, is one of your ambassadors. So we'll finish up with one of his songs, Going Down to See Miss Brown. That is Let's Talk 4 today. If you happen to be around West End today, come along at 3 o'clock. They're doing the launch and you can meet Warren and the artists here at our radio station. That's at 3 o'clock today.